This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Rosazi. Welcoming you to the Seerah Sessions series, Walking with the Prophet. This is episode number 40. Today is episode, lesson number 40, inshallah ta'ala. And I've been saying, this is not just a basic Seerah series. It is called Upon the Footsteps, or Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll be talking about the Prophet as a person, as a prophet, of course, but also as a husband, as a leader, as a son. Talking about Prophet Muhammad as a husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So welcome Instagram, welcome Facebook. Welcome back to our series. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all. I just hope you all doing great. So brothers and sisters, a quick review of what we talked about last week. We were with the battle of Al-Khandaq, if you remember. We were with the trench when the Confederates, they got together to attack the Muslims, to attack Medina. And then Prophet Muhammad when he consulted with the Sahaba, and then came with that idea, that amazing idea by Salman al-Farisi, to dig the trench, right? And which took them 10 days to build or to dig. And it was there were 1500, right? 1500 Sahabis, whereas the Confederates, the Ahzab, they were like 10,000. Quraysh, they have realized that they cannot defeat the Muslims alone, so they had to collect, and this was actually led by the leader of the Jews, who went around collecting all these tribes, and from Quraysh, from Ghatafan, from Khaybar and others, except Banu Qurayda, because they had a treaty with the Prophet Muhammad. But you will see how Banu Qurayda will also deceive the Prophet and will deceive the Muslims. So as I mentioned, they were they were 1500, and how the Prophet Muhammad split them into groups of 25 to dig that trench, which as I mentioned took them 10 days to dig. So brothers and sisters, here's something really interesting that happened. After they dig the trench, the enemies, they could not cross over to the other side, except one man by the name of Amr ibn Wud. Amr ibn Wud was the only person who was able to cross the trench. And then he called for a duel. He called for a duel, and they knew him, the Sahaba, they knew him. And nobody wanted to, go and face this man. They were all scared of him. And Prophet Muhammad, who kept saying, "Man lahu, who can go and fight this guy? Wa lahu al-jannah, adman lahu al-jannah. I guarantee Jannah for him. If you go to face, this man, if you were to die, I guarantee you Jannah." Nobody wanted to stand up except one boy, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the only one who stood up and said, "I will go and face him." Then came, and then the Prophet told him to sit down. And then for the second time, Prophet says, "Who can go and face this man? Walahul Jannah. I shall guarantee Jannah for him." And again, nobody wanted to go and face this man, and except Ali, who stood up, and Prophet Muhammad again told him to sit down. And the third time, Prophet Muhammad again said, "Who can go and face this man? Fight him. And if he was to die, I shall guarantee Jannah for him." Nobody stood up except Ali radiallahu anhu. And then Prophet Muhammad told him, "Ali, I'm afraid he may kill you." And then Ali said, "La ya Rasulullah, I shall kill him. I shall kill him." So Prophet Muhammad gave him his shield, and then like his helmet, and then he went in. So there was this conversation between Ali and Amr ibn Wud. Amr ibn Wud did not know who came in, because they were all, wearing these, shields and armors and whatnot. They could not see each other. So, "Mani al-Rajul?" Amr ibn Wud said, "Who's the man?" Ali said, "Ali." "Ali man? Who? Ali who?" "Ali ibn Abi Talib." "Oh, my little son, go back. go back and send me someone, you know, someone else, you know, somebody my level, somebody who's my height, you know, somebody. Go back, you're a little boy. He says, I shall go back, but under three conditions. So who's talking now? Ali is conversing Amr ibn Awd. He says, I shall go back, but under three conditions. Condition number one, you say, La ilaha illallah. And I will go back. The man says, I shall not say, La ilaha illallah. Even if he says, even if I see myself in the depth of hellfire, I will not say it. In one narration, he said, you know, I shall not say, La ilaha illallah. Even if I see myself in the depth of hellfire, I won't say it. They knew the meaning of it. Okay, brothers on Facebook and sisters, alaikum salam, and those of you on Instagram, they knew the meaning, excuse me, of La ilaha illallah. He says, I won't say it. Even if I see myself in hellfire, I won't say it. So he says, well, condition number two, you pay the jizya. You don't want to say La ilaha illallah, pay the jizya, pay the tax. Yeah, and just like the other non-Muslims, if they don't pay the jizya, طيب, يعني if they don't embrace Islam, you pay your tax and we shall defend you. We shall pray, you know, there'll be laws and rules against those people who don't want to say La ilaha illallah. They keep their faith, yet they would pay taxes. Just like any people who pay taxes, you pay the jizya. He says, no, I will not pay the jizya. What else? He says, then you fight me. And Amr ibn Awd got so angry. He came out, and then this ferocious, you know, fight started happening between these two men. So much so that the Sahaba said, you know, there was so much dust, they could not see who was fighting. You know, they could only see the dust, you know, because, you know, it's in the desert, and then they're fighting and moving around, causing, you know, a lot of dust and smoke, subhanAllah. And then all of a sudden they heard a scream. They heard the scream, and then everything went on hold. Everything was on, like, halt. They just heard this scream, and then off the dust came out. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was able to kill the man. And the Sahaba started making takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But yet, there were 10,000 of them there. That does not mean that the Muslims have won the battle. The Muslims did not win the battle, right? They're 10,000 versus 1,500. So, Prophet Muhammad was in dhikr, was in du'a. The Sahaba, they were still terrified. They were scared, of course. You know, Prophet Muhammad kept on making his dhikr and his du'a. Then, off of يعني nowhere, came a man by the name of Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud came, who was actually from the Confederates. He was not a Muslim, but he came to the camp of the Muslims. He's from this qabila called Al-Ashja' qabila, from the Ahzab, and then he declared Islam, subhanAllah. He declared his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Off of nowhere came that breakthrough. This man came and he says, I want to become a Muslim. And then he told Prophet Muhammad, how can I help? Then Prophet Muhammad told him, you're only one man. What can you do? You're one man. 10,000 of them. What can you do? قُلْ مَا شِئْتْ. Say. He says, خَذِّلْ عَنَّا إِنْ شِئْتْ. The Prophet says, try to cause some disruption if you can. Try to cause some disruption if you can. So Nu'aym went to Banu Qurayda. Banu Qurayda is that Jewish tribe that deceived, you know, that betrayed the Prophet and the Muslims, because they had an oath. They made an oath, right? The oath was that, you know, we won't, you know, join the Confederates. So from the south, you know, Quraysh, the Ahzab, they could not come to the south, because Banu Qurayda, they would protect the back of the Muslims. So they had only that other side, and the other side, there was the trench. So the leader of the Jews, you know, Huyay ibn Akhtab, he went to the leader of Banu Qurayda and convinced him to join the Confederates. So they betrayed. He says, okay, we are. So Prophet Muhammad, as-salam, he heard about the news, And he told the Sahaba, you know, to have the glad tidings that inshallah, the victory is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we talked about last week, dear brothers and sisters. So when Nu'aym came and told Prophet Muhammad, you know, that, you know, okay, I embraced Islam, so what can I do? How can I help? Prophet Muhammad says, see if you can disrupt, you know, the enemy and do something about it, if you can. So Nu'aym went to the tribe of Banu Qurayda, right? He went to the tribe because this siege took a while. It took more than 20 days. There was no winner, no loser. For more than 20 days, nobody could, you know, there was no fight, no nothing happening. They could not, you know, cross over. Anybody who tries to cross over, the Muslims would hit them with their arrows. So there was no winner, no loser. Right? So what happened was, Nu'aym, he went to Banu Qurayda and he says, listen, Quraysh, they've been, you know, here for so long and they are deciding to leave. And if they were to leave, the Muslims, Muhammad, the Muslims, they will come and kill you because they will avenge you, and then they will come and kill you because you people betrayed them. You people broke the treaty, you know, that you had between them, between you and them. So the Muslims, Muhammad, will come and kill you. Quraysh, they're leaving. Then the leader of Banu Qurayda told Nu'aym, what should we do? He says, meet Quraysh, the leader of Quraysh, and ask them to give you 10 people from the elite of Quraysh, the elite of the Arabs, 10 people, to keep them as some sort of like a backup. If Quraysh were to leave, you have your those 10 from the elite of Quraysh. If Quraysh was to leave, you have 10 of their elite, right? And you can kill them, you can, you know, they will give them to Muhammad, do whatever you want, but Quraysh won't be able to leave if you, you know, if you take 10 of from their elite to keep them as like a security, like a safety deposit. Keep them as a deposit. You know, keep them as a deposit. So keep you know, call Quraysh and have this, you know, and ask them to give you 10 of their leaders. And then he went to Quraysh, the same guy, Nu'aym. He went to Quraysh and told Quraysh, listen, Banu Qurayda, they are feeling bad that they have broke the treaty, that they have broke that promise or the oath that they have between them and Muhammad. And they're thinking of going back and asking Muhammad, you know, for some truce, for some peace. And they're thinking to, they will be calling, you know, asking you for 10 of your elite to give them as a sacrifice to the Muslims, to Muhammad, to kill them. Are you sure? Yes, we're sure. Just you can go and ask them, go and have, you know, and talk to them. So Abu Sufyan, he sent some people to Banu Qurayda. Banu Qurayda now, you know, they're, you know, they, you know, those people came in to talk to Banu Qurayda to make sure that they're still, supporting Quraysh and with the Confederates, and that they have not broke their treaty or their promise. Banu Qurayda said, the leader of Banu Qurayda said, well, you people, we heard that maybe you'd be leaving, so we want some sort of guarantee that you won't leave us alone, that you won't leave us, that you won't, you know, betray us. And you want, you know, leave us to the Muslims to kill us. Give us 10 people from you as a safety deposit. Give us 10 people from you, but not any 10 people for that. Give us 10 from your elite to remain with us, to stay with us, to make sure that you won't leave us alone. So they thought to themselves, Quraysh said, oh, Nu'aym was right. Nu'aym was right. Nu'aym, he spoke the truth. So on a very, very windy day, things became so quiet. Things became very quiet on that very scary night. Windy, dark. As it was quiet, and Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, 4 days making dua, constant dua, standing on this place called Masjid al-Fath, and this mosque still exists today in the Khandaq. The Khandaq is covered, you won't see it now, but the place of it, of that trench, still exists in Medina. And there are still some little, you know, small, kind of like, not new, they call them the seven mosques. They're not actually mosques. there are, you know, those places where the leaders were actually watching, making sure that, you know, like Umar, Abu Bakr, Uthman, or you know, they were standing watching the Sahaba doing the work. So there, these standing positions, they kind of like built some small, you know, mihrabs or small masjids. So they call them the seven mosques, the place of the seven masajid, the seven mosques. Those places still exist until today. Prophet Muhammad was standing by this, what it's called Masjid al-Fath. Masjid al-Fath still exists today. He used to go there in that small, you know, minaret, and then he would go inside and then pray and make dua. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma munzil al-kitab. He would make that dua. Allahumma munzil al-kitab. Mujri al-sahab. Hazim al-ahzab. Ahzamhum wa zalzilhum wa ansulna alayhim. Allahumma, the one munzil al-kitab, the one who sends down the kitab, the book, the Quran. Mujri al-sahab, the one who makes the sahab, the clouds run through. Hazim al-ahzab, the one who shall, you know, defeat the ahzab, the confederates. Ahzimhum wa zalzilhum wa ansulna alayhim. Defeat them, O Allah. You're the only one who can defeat them. Defeat them, O Allah. Zalzilhum, make them shake their feet beneath them. Wa ansulna alayhim, and make us victorious upon them. He used to make that dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Comes that night. That night, very, very dark, scary, windy night. Brothers and sisters, the wind, listen to this beauty. The wind is nothing but one of the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sent His soldiers in many ways. In the battle of Badr, Allah azza wa jal sent down the angels, like physically the angels came down in the battle of Badr. In the battle of Hunayn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels in form of ants. Ants, we're going to talk about the battle of Hunayn, inshallah ta'ala, in form of ants. In the battle of Al-Ahzab, the Khandaq, the battle of Al-Ahzab, Allah Azza wa Jal sent His junood in form of wind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 9, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودًا فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. Oh, you who believe, remember the ni'mat of Allah. Remember the blessings of Allah, the favors of Allah upon you. إِجَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا. When Allah Azza wa Jal sent down this rih upon your enemy. The rih means the wind. He sent down the wind upon your enemy. وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And soldiers, you did not see them. يعني Allah sent down angels, but you did not see them. Allah sent His help through wind. What happened to that wind? Prophet Muhammad told the Sahaba on that very dark, windy night, he told the Sahaba, who can go to the other camp? Who can cross over to bring us some news? See what's happening there. Nobody wanted to come. Nobody wanted to stand. And the Prophet says, who can just cross over to that other camp and bring us some news, and I guarantee Jannah for him. Whether he dies or lives, he just goes there, comes back, bring us some news, I guarantee him Jannah. Nobody wanted to stand. That Hadrat, they're all scared. All the Sahaba were terrified. They are befriending the Prophet. They're living with the Prophet. They're there. And the Prophet is asking, he's saying, who can just go cross over to the other camp? Bring us some news. Just tell us what's happening there. And come back. And I guarantee Jannah for them. Or for him, yani. For him. Nobody wanted to stand. So Prophet Muhammad, because he was so dark, he told the Sahaba, Qum, stand up. Who? Stand up. Hudayfa. You couldn't see them. Who's here? Who's there? They couldn't even see one another. That's how dark it was. Prophet, we didn't know who that man was. He kicked him. He says, who's the man? Who's the man? He says, Hudayfa. Hudayfa, qum ya Hudayfa. Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman. Stand up, O Hudayfa. Stand up. Hudayfa said, by Allah, I only stood because it was Rasulullah. I did not want to embarrass myself nor embarrass him. You know, I couldn't say no to Rasulullah. So he stood up. Nobody wanted to stand. And the Prophet did not know because it was so dark. You know, he just touched the man. Who's the man? Who's the man? Hudayfa says, I. Who's I? Hudayfa, ya Rasulullah. Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, stand up. Oh, Hudayfa, go and get us the news. So Hudayfa said, look, he says, I came out, it was freezing. Not only dark, dark, windy, freezing. I was freezing. He says, as soon as I moved out from my camp to the other camp, discreetly, because the Prophet told him, don't make sure you stay, you remain discreet. Make sure you remain discreet. Nobody should know about you. He says, as soon as I moved to the other camp, I crossed over to the other camp. He says, I felt like I was in hammam. You know hammam? Have you ever been in Moroccan hammam, brothers? Maybe some of you have been to Moroccan or maybe Turkish hammam. Moroccan hammam is something out of this world, huh? Something, it's not any hammam. You know, Moroccan bath is not like any bath. Yeah, people have this, you know, they say Turkish bath, you know, but Moroccan is way beyond anything you've ever imagined. So this man, Hudayfa, says, I felt like I was, yes, it was windy, freezing, cold, but I felt like I was in hammam. Allahu Akbar. He felt so warm, so warm. He's following the commands of the Prophet Muhammad. So he goes discreetly in secrecy, but nobody's dark, nobody sees, you know, who is there and whatnot. And then he sees this man, a big man, he says, a big man by this fire. You know, they had, you know, the fire that they were trying to stay warm. So this man, and there was this fire, and then I came closer, and then it is Abu Sufyan. It is Abu Sufyan. So he says, I took my arrow. I was going to shoot him. I took my sword. I wanted to go and kill him. But then I remember Prophet Muhammad saying, remain discreet. Don't make no noise. If I kill Abu Sufyan, it's all over. It's done. Abu Sufyan would become a Muslim later on, subhanAllah. He would become a Muslim. So Hudayfa, he remembered the command of the Prophet. The Prophet told him, don't make no noise, remain discreet. Just go get us the news and come back. That's all you have to do. Go, tell us what's going on there and come back. So then he came back. And then Abu Sufyan started calling people. Come back, ya people. Halum, halum, ijtami'u. So all the Quraysh and the Arabs and the others, they got together. They got together. And then he says, إني سأكلمكم. I will tell you something. فلينظر كل منكم من بجواره. Each one of you should know who is beside him. يعني, because we don't know. There's just so many people. Maybe you could have spies. And it's dark. You don't know who's who. So he said, let each one of you know who is beside him. You know, from here. And then he says, Hudayfa, before they asked me, he says, before I was asked, I turned to the man, you know, on my right, said, who's the man? Who's the man? And I turned to the man, you know, on my left, says, who's the man? And then they didn't ask me. Nobody asked me. Amr ibn al-As, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. From his right, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, man al-rajul, an shimali, on his right was Amr ibn al-As, and then on his left was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Later on, when Amr ibn al-As will become a Muslim, he says, for 1 year, Muhammad ibn al-As was the smartest, was dahiya. He was so brilliant. Whenever there's something, they would send Amr ibn al-As, you know, when he would become a Muslim, it was a big, you know, it was an addition to the Muslims, because he was a very, very intelligent man. But then he says, he tricked me. he tricked me. You know, when he becomes this, 1 year, whenever I remember that incident, I start laughing. How was I tricked? Nobody has ever tricked me. How was I tricked? How was I ever tricked? So he turned to his right. He says, who's the man? He says, Amr ibn al-As. And then he turned to his left. He says, who's the man? And then Muawiyah said, Muawiyah, Muawiyah ibn Sufyan. He says, nobody asked me. And then Abu Sufyan said, Banu Qurayda, they have betrayed our agreement, and they will go back to Muhammad So I am going back. We're leaving. We're coming back home. We're going back home. And then as soon as they, you know, the Quraysh heard Abu Sufyan said, we're leaving. Everybody starts saying, we're leaving. Ar-Rahil, Ar-Rahil, Ar-Rahil. Everybody there sick. They got sick. Everybody wanted to leave. Of course, they were scared too. They wanted to leave. As soon as Abu Sufyan says, we're leaving, they all says, we're leaving. And khalas, they started, you know, he said, Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, it was so windy that tents were flying off. That's how windy it was. Tents, because, you know, they had camps, you know, in their camp, there were many tents. He said tents were flying in the air because of the how strong the wind was. So when Abu Sufyan says, we're leaving, they all left. And then Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman made it back into the camp. He says, as soon as I came back to the camp, I felt cold again. I felt very cold again. As soon as I went back into the camp, I felt very cold. So I went to Masjid al-Fath, where Prophet Muhammad was praying. And then he says, Prophet was praying, and I sat down, and I was so cold. Prophet Muhammad felt that I was cold. Then he opened his abaya. The Prophet has his abaya with him, his abaya. So he opened it, and then he covered me. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he covered me when he was praying because he saw how cold I was. And then when Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished the salah, I gave him the good news. Ya Rasulullah, basharak Allahu bil khair. Fatabassam, Prophet Muhammad smiled, and he says, as you have brought me this beautiful news, may Allah Azza wa Jal, excuse me, make you also happy with great news. لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده ونصر عبده وأقر جنده وهزم الأحزاب وحده لا إله إلا الله وحده لا إله إلا الله وحده صدق وعده. Allah عز وجل has spoken the truth. He has kept his promise. ونصر عبده, and he has given nusra to his abd. He has given nusra, he has given victory to his slave. وهزم الأحزاب وحده. Who defeated the أحزاب? Who defeated the confederates? The Muslims, they did not fight and they couldn't fight. So who defeated them? Allah. Allah. وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَهُ. And he defeated the confederates alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, after 24 days in that Hisar, 24 days being in that siege, in that trench, right? And 10 days of digging, because 10 days they were digging, it took them 10 days to dig the trench, 4 kilometers long. The trench was 4 kilometers long, you know, 1,500 people digging it, right? So 10 days it took them. After 24 days being in that siege, the Prophet told them, we're going back. So Prophet Muhammad went back home. As he went back home, Jibril came down. What did Jibril tell Prophet Muhammad? Let me tell you what he told him. But before I tell you what Prophet Muhammad told Jibril, what Jibril told Prophet Muhammad, I'd like to ask, how are you people doing, first of all? It's been a long time. It's been since last week. We haven't spoken since last week. How are you people doing, those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram? How are you? How's everyone doing? Talk to me. How about those of you on Facebook? How are you guys doing? Brothers and sisters, doing okay? You doing good? Alhamdulillah, Yashmin. Jazakallah khair. How's everybody doing on Instagram? Romina, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Romina. All right, alhamdulillah. How's, khalas, just Yashmin and Romina? Where's everybody else? Where's everyone else? Where's everybody? How about those of you on Facebook? Kif alhal? Ki hal hey? I'm Tabit. Ya hala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. By Zuriaz. Oh, Sister Fatima, we heard the news. Alhamdulillah, Sister Fatima, she's sound and safe. She's back home. Alhamdulillah, she's doing great. Allahumma lak alhamd. She came back sound and safe. Allah Azza wa Jal has given her shifa. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Allahumma lak alhamd. We're so happy. We're so happy, Sister Fatima, that you're back home. MashaAllah, Habibi Sami, my man. Ya Allahu Akbar. So when Prophet Muhammad and Nawash is doing great as well, mashallah. So when Prophet Muhammad took off his, the armors and whatever he was, wearing for, and then went home, Jibril came down and says, Ya Rasulullah, you took off the clothes for the, you know, the clothes that you wear for war, you know, your armors, your shield and whatnot. He says, the angels, they have not. Ya Rasulullah, what happened? Awadata silahak? Did you put your weapon down? Al-Malaika, the angels, they have not put down their weapons. Why? What happened? Qala, then Jibril told Prophet Muhammad, Banu Qurayda, they have betrayed. Ghadar, treachery, they have committed treason. Banu Qurayda, they have committed treason. You know, so we're not going to let that go. And then Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام, told the Sahaba, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, فَلَا يُصَلِّيَنَّ الْعَصْرَ إِلَّا فِي بَنِي قُرَيْدَةِ Whosoever believes in Allah and the Prophet, he should not pray Asr except in Banu Qurayda. The Sahaba, they had a discrepancy, you know, or a disagreement in when they heard this statement coming from the Prophet. The Prophet told him, whosoever believes in Allah and the Prophet, they should not pray Asr that day, because Prophet Muhammad went back around Dhuhr time. Right, so as he was removing, put down his weapon and then moving clothes, Jibril came down and says, go to Banu Qurayda. Those who committed treason, those who committed treason, they need to be punished. So Prophet Muhammad told the Sahaba, whosoever believes in Allah and the Prophet, he should not pray Asr except in Banu Qurayda, meaning rush, hasten to Banu Qurayda. So on the way, the Sahaba, they had a disagreement. When Asr came, some said, oh, we need to pray Asr. One group said, well, no, the Prophet said we should only pray Asr when we reach Banu Qurayda. The others, they said, well, that's the Prophet meant we should just rush. The Prophet meant we should rush, but it's Salah time. It's Salah time. We have to pray a Salah now. As if like you have Hanafi Madhab with Shafi'i Madhab. You know, Hanafi Madhab. It's Salah time, we have to pray now. And the Shafi'i, they're saying, but the Prophet says we should pray when we reach Banu Qurayda. Yes, but the Prophet, he said, whosoever believes in Allah, but that's now it's Asr. He said we should rush. That's what the Prophet meant. So when they reached Banu Qurayda, they told the Prophet about their disagreement. The Prophet approved both. The Prophet approved both of them. Those who understood that what the Prophet meant is just a rush, and the others actually who took the command of the Prophet literally, and delayed Asr until they reached Banu Qurayda, and that's where they prayed Asr. The Prophet approved those as well. All of those who prayed in Banu Qurayda, they got double the reward, because they prayed Asr, although they delayed it, but they also prayed it, you know, as they took literally the command of the Prophet. Let them pray Asr in Banu Qurayda. That was a command. Let them pray Asr in Banu Qurayda. So Banu Qurayda, khalas, they're terrified. They knew that Prophet Muhammad is coming. Khalas, they're terrified. And they came down. They put them under siege for 15 days. Now who's putting the others in a siege? Now the Muslims are putting Banu Qurayda in a siege. They can't leave. They are in the fortress. Because there's the Jews like Khaybar, Banu Qurayda, Banu Qaynuqa, you know, they had their own fortresses. So Banu Qurayda, remember, they now they have their fortresses, they stay in their fortresses, but they need food, they need, you know, they have only so much. But Prophet Muhammad, again, he stopped them there, you know, for 15 days. They came and they said, we shall submit ourselves, but then Prophet says, under my command, you submit yourselves to my command. They said, no, not to your command. We only can appoint Sa'd. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad had a treaty with them. He was their leader, kind of, you know, of Banu Qurayda. Because remember, as I mentioned earlier, some time back, you know, that Medina had, you know, you had, you know, the Aus, the Khazraj, and then you have different tribes of Yahud. They used to live also in Medina. So you had business happening between the Jews and the Arabs, and, you know, and so it was fine. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad was one of the leaders. They said, we can only accept Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, whatever verdict he makes. We're not going to accept your verdict. We accept the verdict of Sa'd ibn Mu'ad. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad was injured. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad was injured, radiallahu anhu wa arda. it was an arrow that came from during the battle, and the arrow came from nowhere and then hit him in his shoulder, and then he was injured, it was dripping blood and whatnot, you know. So he came, they brought him, and then he told them, "Would you accept my verdict, O Banu Qurayda?" They said, "We accept your verdict. Would you accept my verdict, however it is?" Because they thought he is our leader. He's not going to issue a verdict for us to be killed or whatnot. He's our friend. He's our guy. He's our buddy. You know. He's our leader. So now Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he's telling them, "Would you accept my verdict as is? As is, would you accept it as is?" They said, "We shall accept your verdict as is." And then he says, I command that all the men should be killed, and all the women should be taken as prisoners, and all the wealth should be taken and given to the Muslims. The Prophet made takbir. He says, حَكَمْتَ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعَ السَّمَوَاتِ حَكَمْتَ بِهِمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعِ سَمَوَاتِ He says, this is the hukm, the verdict of Allah. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal wanted. Yes, Islam is a peaceful religion, of course. Some people think Islam is a religion of blood. No, it is not. And was never. These people, they had a treaty between them and the Muslims. They betrayed the Muslims. So many lives would have been killed. So much blood would have been spilled. So the Prophet has to teach them a lesson, you know. And the lesson was not, okay, imprison them. La, the lesson here was that those people will be killed. So Sa'd, he issued that verdict that all the men will be killed and the women will be taken as prisoners, and all the wealth should be taken. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he died. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he died because of that injury. When he died, the throne of Allah shook. That's how close he was to Allah. The throne of Allah started shaking when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh died. 70,000 angels came down to his funeral. Not only the Muslims, the Sahaba, went to his funeral. 70,000 angels came down to the funeral of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu arda. Came down, or, you know, this was this incident that happened in the fifth year of the Hijrah. From there on, Prophet Muhammad, he said, Al-yawma naghzuhum wa la yaghzunana. From today onward, we shall attack them. They will never be able to attack us again. Khalas. No tribe will ever be able to attack us. We can attack them, but nobody will be able to attack us again after this battle. In the fifth year of the Hijrah. Brothers and sisters, in the fifth year of the Hijrah, also many, many incidents happen. But this incident that happened in the fifth year of the Hijrah, Allah will reveal many commands in the fifth year of the Hijrah. Like the hijab will be revealed, you know, the hijab, the command of the hijab will be made, you know, obligatory on the fifth year of the Hijrah. Many things, we will talk about them. But something will happen in the fifth year of the Hijrah. What happened? Let me tell you. After Al-Khandaq, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he heard about another tribe, Ghazwat Banu al-Mustaliq. Qabail, small qabilas, they were thinking of, you know, attacking the Muslims. Whenever the Prophet hears about anyone thinking of attacking the Muslims, he will go and attack them first. So this qabila, you know, Banu al-Mustaliq, Prophet Muhammad, he heard about that they're thinking of attacking the Muslims, so the Prophet attacked them first. And then they run away, of course. The hypocrites also went with the Prophet on this one. Even the hypocrites, they went out. And of course, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who is the leader of the hypocrites, he was with them as well. something happened, a small incident happened here. When on the way, the army stopped, and two boys, one from the Aus and one from the Khazraj, or one from the Muhajirin and one from the Ansar, one ghulam, one boy from Umar ibn Khattab's boy, maid, or, you know, they had maids, so man-maids, or servants, you may say, servants. Umar ibn Khattab's servant, and one of the Ansar servant, had an argument. And one called, "Oh, you Ansar!" And the other one called, "Oh, you Muhajirin!" They started calling their tribes. You know, tribalism. You know, one from the Ansar, one from the Hajirin, they had an argument, and each was calling his clan. "Oh, you Ansar, you Muhajirin, come, come." You know, like, you know, the big fight. Prophet Muhammad got so angry. Got so angry, sallallahu alayhi wa. This is jahiliyyah. This is the ignorance days, and I'm still amongst you, and I'm still with you, I'm still alive, and you're doing this. Da'uha fa'innaha muntina. Leave it. It's bad. The Prophet says, leave this. This is not good. This tribalism. My name is so and so. I come from this family so and so. I come from this family so and so. I come from my tribe. I come from my clan. You know, the Prophet says, is this abida' wal jahiliyyah? This is jahiliyyah. This is from the days of ignorance. And I'm still living amongst you and you're doing this. Leave it. It is bad. It is wrong. A lot of people do this today. A lot of people, we have it amongst us, the Arabs, a lot. Unfortunately, I am so-and-so from this family, so-and-so, or whatever. So the Prophet was angry. And then, the leader of the hypocrites, as they were sitting and talking, he said something really bad. He said something really bad. What did he say? He says, it is like when you have a dog that you've been feeding, you know, feeding and feeding, and then the dog bites its owner. So he's likening the Muhajirin, because of this incident that happened between the Ansar, because this hypocrite, he was from the Ansar. And the other guy was from the Hajirin. So now this guy, when the Prophet, you know, called it off, he went down and he says, you know, after all we've done to them, hosting them and this and this and that and whatnot, you know, it is like you have a dog that you've been feeding and the dog bites you. And just this statement, and also he says, لَإِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَنُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ. When we go back to Medina, the Al-A'az, you know, the graceful one will kick out the dignified, will kick out the disgraced. Yani he's talking about the Ansar kicking out the Muhajirin, kicking out the Prophet Muhammad. He said it. And this created another big fuss amongst the Sahaba. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's an army. So what did he want? You know, he did not want the Sahaba to start arguing amongst them. You know, this and that, and to have this, again, this jahiliyyah thing happening amongst them, and this tribalism, Muhajirin, Ansar, and whatnot. So the Prophet Muhammad told them to stand up. Yalla, stand up. We're moving. They started, you know, walking, you know, going back. And they were so tired. When they felt that they were going to stop, they would pray, and then the Prophet would tell them, let's move on again. Let's move on. They prayed Dhuhr, let's move on. They prayed and they start, you know, moving. When it's Asr, they said, okay, we're going to rest now. We're going to pray Asr and rest. They prayed Asr, the Prophet told them, stand up, we're leaving. He did not give them a chance to bring back what happened. And then Maghrib, we're leaving. When Isha time came, they prayed Isha, and the Prophet says, we're going to camp here and sleep. They all slept. They all slept. They had no time to talk about what had happened. They were so tired, and that's what the Prophet wanted to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not want to give them a chance to argue, alayhi salatu wasalam. But something more graver than this happened. What happened, brothers and sisters? The incident of slandering Aisha. Oh. It was very sad. The slandering of Aisha. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam used to take with him his, you know, one of his wives. They used to do the al-qur'ah, you know, like not a lottery. It's like, you know, the casting of whatever. And then he would choose whoever's turn it is. He will take her with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Bani al-Mustaliq, that was, excuse me, in that expedition or in that, you know, in that battle of al-Mustaliq, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, chose, it was Aisha's turn. So Aisha went with the Prophet Muhammad. And they had this hawdaj. What they call the hawdaj is that small tent that they mount, you know, and they put on the top of a camel, right? So that the wife of the Prophet or whoever is going with the Prophet or whatever women, she would go inside that tent, which is mounted on top of the camel. So the woman, she does not appear, you know, she's covered all over, you know, she's inside. And the Prophet would just walk, alayhi salatu wasalam, or on his horse, you know, but close to the hawdish of Aisha. He will always be close to Aisha radiallahu anha. They will talk, they will be talking, but she's inside her tent. When the Prophet is walking or on his horse or his camel, and then he's, you know, there, you know, together. So what happened was, when they reach an area where, you know, like a resting area, they will take the hawdaj. The Sahaba, they will come. And Aisha, she's still there inside the hawdaj, inside the tent. So they will carry the tent and they will put it down. And then they will leave. They will leave, so Aisha will come out. And Aisha was so light. She was very light. She was very light. So they carried, and then they put it down, and then they left. So Aisha, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, did something. What did she do? What happened? There was a man by the name of Safwan bin Mu'attil, that the Prophet would always keep a man from behind. A man will stay from behind. The army will be moving, and there is a man who will always stay behind. If something was to fall, if something was to be, you know, lost, he would pick it up on the way. So that man was Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil. What would he do, Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil? What would Aisha do, radiallahu anha wa ardaha? What commands, what orders, you know, of what fara'id will come down on the fifth year of the Hijrah. Why it is called this fifth year of the Hijrah, the year of al-akhlaq, the year of all the morals, you know, lot of morals, lot of etiquettes, lot of adab. It is the adab, this year of adab. The Sahaba, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed so many things to do tarbiyah to the Sahaba. It is the year of tarbiyah. Many things were revealed in that year. According, you know, not only the hijab, many other things were revealed in that year of the fifth of the Hijrah after Al-Khandaq. What else? What happened? What are these things? What did Aisha do? You know, where did she go? What happened when the Prophet, you know, what happened to Safwan? What did the hypocrites say when they went to Medina? Because they said, when we reach Medina, the dignified will kick the disgraced one. So what did they do when they reached Medina? What did the son of the leader of the hypocrites, who was actually a Muslim, who was a Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, his father is named Abdullah, and the son is also named Abdullah. When the son heard that the father said, you know, like a dog, you know, feeding your dog and then comes to bite you, what did he do? What did he do? What did the son do? Inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, we will talk about all this tomorrow, inshallah. Tomorrow, Saturday. I know some of you, I'm sure you have smelled it. It is a cliffhanger, inshallah, for tomorrow. You know, we will proceed with the story of, you know, of what happened. A story filled with morals, filled with, you know, tarbiyah, rules. There is an ayah in the Quran, surah in the Quran, surah Nur, talking about this. And tomorrow, inshallah, we will pause. After we talk about the incident, we will pause and derive lessons, inshallah. We will derive some lessons from the story. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Thank you so much for attending. Thank you, Facebook out there. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you so much for joining. Instagram out here. Thank you again. Thank you for joining. May Allah bless you. Thank you, Baizuri Aziz. Thank you, Nawal. Thank you, Romina. Thank you, Yashmin. Thank you, Sister Fatima, for joining. Brother Sheikh Dawood, Jazakallah khair for joining. May Allah bless you. Bless you all. Those of you on Facebook, thank you so much for joining. Whoever you are, may Allah bless you again. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakum Allah khair.